Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to DCB Bank Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Murali M. Natarajan, MD and CEO, DCB Bank Limited, and Mr. Bharat Sampath, CFO, DCB Bank Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali M. Natarajan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, all of you, for joining this call. I have my team in the boardroom of DCB Bank corporate office. For the first five to seven minutes, I'll give some background about some of the key items that I would like to highlight for quarter two of FY 2022, and then we will open it up for questions. First thing I want to point out is on collections efficiency. What I would like to point out is that we are pretty close to pre-COVID levels in terms of collection efficiency. If I look at the bucket zero collection, including the restructured portfolio, for LAP, we are at 97.2%, and in January of 2020, it was 98.9%. In home loans, we are at 98.8%, and we were 99.2% prior to COVID. I can say that we are pretty much in line with what was our situation pre-COVID. Commercial vehicle is a declining portfolio. Since it's a declining portfolio, I don't expect our collection efficiency to be as good as the pre-COVID level. However, it is still in an improvement trend. If I look at delinquent and restructured portfolio, LAP has come to 95.8%. It used to be 97.5%. Home loans is at 98.1%. It used to be 98.5%. I think, looking at the current trend, and October numbers are not final yet, I believe that we should be same or hopefully better, considering some holidays and so on. We should be in line with our expectations. That is on collection efficiency. I hope you had a chance to download the investor presentation, and I would very much like you to look at page number 13, which is on gross NPA movement. The slippages in comparison to quarter one was less by about 100 crores. First quarter, we had a 515 crore slippage. This quarter, we had 414 crore of slippage. Majority of the slippage is in mortgage, CV, some in SME, and some amount in MFI loans. That is not the important part here. The critical part here is our upgrade and recoveries is almost 396 crores, and out of that, very small amount is due to upgrade on restructure from NPA. We are talking about upgrade through cash and cash recovery has been very strong in this quarter, and we believe that if the same trend continues, we should have a pretty decent, you know, improvement quarter-on-quarter as we go forward. This kind of approach has resulted in actually reduction in our gross NPA percentage and net NPA percentage. We have not sold any portfolio to ARCL this quarter, and we have not done any meaningful write-off in this particular quarter. That is point number two. The next point I would like to mention is on the disbursements, new business disbursements. Please look at our press release and have a look at point number nine on advances. The total disbursements this year, this quarter, was 3,837 crores. If I remember my numbers right, last year same quarter must have been 1,500-1,600 crores, and even first quarter this year has been similar levels. So we are making good progress, and I believe that if there is no major interruption or disruption due to COVID-19 third wave or something, we should continue to improve on our performance on new business disbursement. The next point I would like to mention is on costs. We are consciously increasing our frontline staff in both deposits and loans. We want to be ready for capturing the business momentum that we believe will steadily increase over time. And because of that, we are building headcount. If you compare our headcount is almost year on year up by almost 600-700 kind of headcount. And this is a conscious decision on our part, and we continue to do that. If I look at our CASA performance, it's been pretty good. We have kind of revamped the scorecards on the branches. We believe that we have done a very good job in terms of getting retail term deposits and making our portfolio of deposits very granular. Our top 20 deposit continues to be below 7%. And our reliance on bulk deposits continues to be improving, both on interbank and bulk deposits. We continue to reduce our reliance on that. And of course, we don't have any CDs. So we are taking this opportunity to restack our resources at the branches to focus on CASA. We believe that this also will give us better results. All in all, compared to quarter one, we believe that the situation, and as well as put our efforts both in new business and collections recovery, is starting to yield results, and we hope to continue this momentum. With those comments, I would like to open up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Akshay Chheda from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good evening, sir. I wanted to ask, a lot of NBFCs are entering into co-lending agreements with PSU banks and foreign banks for MSME and housing loans in priority sector. So will it pose any competition to DCB Bank?
It won't pose any additional competition to DCB Bank. We have done very well on co-lending tie-ups. We had done a tie-up in the previous quarter, and that is starting to yield results, and that co-lending tie-up is on gold loans. We are exploring further opportunities in a tie-up with NBFCs on co-lending, and we hope that by end of the year we can at least sign up one or two more co-lending opportunities. So I don't see that as any additional problem for us.
Okay, that was it, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
So, my first question is on growth. So, you've had a fairly good growth this quarter. So, what is the expectation going ahead? Could we expect the same pace to continue? And what would be, say, the number for you, if any, for this fiscal?
So we don't give yearly growth targets. The way we are building our frontline capacity in deposits and in loans, we believe that if there is no unforeseen situation or COVID-19 kind of third wave, we should be able to double our balance sheet between 3 and a half years to 4 years. That's the kind of outlook we have at the moment. And as far as we are concerned, we have two challenges. One challenge is the gross NPA that we have to deal with. And I think in second quarter, we have done a pretty decent job of dealing with that. And if the growth numbers are starting to come back, especially in mortgages and home loans and the gold loans, so we do believe that the way we are functioning now, we should have a decent chance of delivering double the balance sheet in between 3.5-4 years.
Got it. And while you highlighted the strong recoveries this quarter, what we also understand is probably, you know, the high slippages of last quarter, which were more short-term in nature because of the lockdown, also partly contributed to good recoveries. And we've seen that across banks. So do you expect this sort of pace to continue, or you could say slow down, and this could be transitionary because of the impact of first quarter, the recovery?
I think we have done far, far better than any bank result that I've seen so far. And that is because we are dealing with a secured portfolio. We are dealing with mortgage and home loan portfolio largely. We are dealing with self-occupied portfolio. So current collection feedback trends indicate that we should be strong in recoveries and upgrades. I can't tell you whether it will be the same or different, because sometimes holidays can disrupt some recoveries. Sometimes some other factor can affect. But on a trend basis, it looks like to me that we are on a good track.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And lastly, on the slippage front, last quarter we have seen a few slippages from the corporate book, and you highlighted that those were very short-term and should be recovered. So anything on that?
Unfortunately, in corporate, usually we are not the only lender. There are other lenders. So therefore, there is a lot of coordination that is required. And usually we are a very small lender in comparison to the other lenders. Having said that, one of the loans that went into slippage has already been recovered, and the balance we have taken the hit. So all settlement, NCLT, JLM, all got over. The new investor came. Money has been deposited in the bank and it is all over. From what it looks like, we should have some upgrade or recovery in another account this quarter. So the work is going on. Sometimes corporate account looks like they are going to close it just today, but it may just slip to another month or so on various factors. But the recovery on one or two accounts looks definitely positive.
Sure. Thank you. I'll come back for any further.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Before taking the next question, we would like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if you could give some color on how is the business activity right now around restructure and overdue customers that we have?
So we have presented to you in the press release. I hope you had a chance to go through it. The collection efficiency includes the restructured accounts.
Right.
Yeah. So so including the build restructure, we have presented the thing. And as you can see, definitely the trends are looking quite encouraging. If there is no further disruption of any kind, we hope to steadily improve this and bring it to either pre-COVID levels or hopefully do better than that. That is what it looks. Customer feedback is encouraging. Customers are slowly coming back to some level of normalcy. The despair that was there somewhere in, say, May or June, and even for that matter July, is slowly subsiding. And we are also in active dialogue with NPA customers to tell them that if your business has come back, try and borrow money from somewhere or bring in some capital and upgrade your account so that you can get, at a later date, sometime down the road, you can get more money for expansion and all, rather than remaining as a NPA customer. There are quite a few customers who are paying just one installment but remaining in NPA. So we are trying to encourage them to go and find the overdue account, you know, balance and pay off to us so that they can get upgraded. So all in all, I would say that barring certain customers who unfortunately have got badly affected by the lockdown, rest of it is coming back. So yeah, situation is a lot far better than what it was when I was speaking to you guys last quarter.
So just to understand the color of the recovery that we have seen this quarter,
yeah.
So would it be fair to assume that most of them are from the regular repayment as the business environment has increased, has improved, or is there also a component of, say, incumbent of SARFAESI or mutual one-time settlement? How would the mix be between, say, regular business improvement vis-a-vis the other two?
No. You know, it is very difficult to say what has led to what. Frankly, the collections and recovery teams are having a very strong analytics and strategy to go and approach each and every customer and find a solution for them to pay the debt and pay the overdues, right? SARFAESI and all takes a lot of time. If you do SARFAESI activity, it will take anywhere from 6 months to 12 months. And you do know that till August or something like that, most governments are very busy with dealing with COVID-related matters. So attending to SARFAESI notice may not have been their priority. So these are all, while we will continue to send notices on SARFAESI auction and all these things, but these are all based on one-to-one discussions and negotiation with customer and getting them to see the point of upgrading themselves so that they can have a better future for their business. And some of them obviously also in terms of the customer themselves agreeing to sell the property and squaring off the debt.
Sure, sir. And then lastly, on the comments on cost to income ratio likely to stay slightly elevated in the near term.
Yeah.
So just want to understand, like, what kind of branch additions are we targeting over the next 1.5 years?
We have already mentioned that in our press release, right? In 12 to 15 months, we are targeting 20 to 30. So it is not just about branch addition. We are giving additional headcount to our existing branches. We have categorized the branches as we normally do, into various performance, potential and so on. And based on performance and potential, we are giving additional headcount to various branches so that they can grow their branch to a you know, bigger balance sheet. There are many branches which are wanting to do more, but they don't have enough space. So we are helping them to get more space or relocate to a nearby place with a bigger branch so that they can perform better. So all those activities are going in full swing at the moment.
Sure. And just on this cost thing further, so one would be like a normal capacity addition which is happening, and if we were to also include the new initiatives like the technology expenses and other things. So in terms of incremental OPEX, how would it be split between, the growth of OPEX would be split between new initiatives vis-a-vis capacity addition?
We don't have those kind of breakup. We don't disclose those kind of breakup. All we can tell you is that we have put some 500 odd projects in our Mission 309 digital initiative, and about 20-30% of the projects are being done in-house. Some of the projects are being done in combination of in-house and external, and some are being completely done outsourced because we don't have the skills to do those kind of projects. Each project is being evaluated on its merits to see whether it can give us a break-even within 12-18 months type of this thing, and there is a complete project team that makes sure that those kind of discipline and governance is taken care of. All I would like to say is that the way we are looking at it now is that we see an opportunity, we see that we are in control of our portfolio, and we want to focus on steadily growing our front line, including branch network as we have mentioned in our press release, to step up our growth. And our intention is to double the balance sheet between 3 to 4 years.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Darpin Shah from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. First is, you know, in the on the restructured book, is there any more pipeline which might come in 3Q? So we must have received some you know, queries and we have worked on it, but it is not yet implemented.
Yeah. So Darpin, About 62% of our restructure is mortgages, both home loans and loan against property. Okay, and less than 2% is on any unsecured loan. So I want you to know that first, because our restructured book is not some MFI book or personal loan book and so on. So that is point number one. Then you have a smattering of commercial vehicle, SME, MSME, a small amount in corporate, and some one or two construction finance and so on. So we are pretty confident about our restructured portfolio. Secondly, we have carrying a provision for the restructured portfolio, and I think that is also disclosed in our press release. Point number, Bharat, what point is that? There's a point on provision. I don't know. It's on point, I think point 13 that you have that. Okay? That is point number two. Point number three is, in restructure, July was a difficult month because customers were not having confidence. And while we kept encouraging them to not take the restructure because of peer pressure and because their loan may have got restructured in some other bank or whatever be the case, was good. I mean, was the high. Okay, August and September was pretty much low, and October looks negligible. Having said that, there is some limited promise that has been made to customers that if they behave for 3 months, 6 months and all, we will review their account for restructure. And those will come through. But I believe from here on, restructure would be very limited.
Okay.
And our collection efficiency, what we are presenting, includes restructured portfolio.
Yes, yes, I've seen that. I've seen that. And the second bit is, you know, in terms of our costs have gone down. Cost of funds or cost of deposits have gone down. Our yields have improved on a sequential basis. But margin improvement is very, just near 6 basis points.
Yeah.
So what explains this?
I think two explanations is there. There is the restructure book causes some damage to the NIM because you capitalize some of the interest that has not been paid, for example, or partly not paid or whatever. That is one. Secondly, we kept carrying excess liquidity throughout the quarter again. Because we wanted to be very sure before reducing the excess liquidity. We hope to reduce the excess liquidity in the coming quarter. And we wanted to make sure that our granularization of deposit is firmly on firm footing before starting to kind of reduce our deposit rates and all. So that has also happened. So I do expect some improvement in NIMS going forward. As long as we don't have too much of slippage over and above our recoveries and upgrades.
Okay. And so just one last data keeping question. Can I get the breakup of provisions?
P&L provision?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Towards NPA, 28 crores.
Okay.
Provision, 3 crores.
Okay.
Provision towards standard restructured assets, 69 crores, and net standard regular provision regular as well as additional provision is running at minus 13. That is utilization is up.
Okay. So just to check one last thing, you know, in press release the provision breakup which you have given as on September, this 115 crores of floating provisions is part of GNP, is part of provisions where you calculate PCR?
Net NPA, yes.
It goes in net NPA, so gets included in provision coverage ratio.
I don't have the number here, but the pre-COVID NPAs what we have would be almost 97-98% provided at the moment.
Okay, okay.
It's only the fresh slippages that we are catching up on the provision, and like I mentioned in the past, our loss given default in mortgages is like 23-25%. And we probably are already provided 45% or something like that.
Okay, sounds good. So, sir, non-NPA related provisioning will be towards restructured assets of 265 crores, contingency provisions of 78 crores, and specific standard assets of 24 crores.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, that's it from my end. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next next question is from the line of Renish Harish Bhai Boa from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening. Two questions. One on our CV portfolio. So sir, what is the ground feedback we are getting? Because the recent fuel prices. Whether the transporters are able to pass on the fuel price to end customers or no, sir?
See, we are a small player in CV, but the feedback that we are getting from the ground is that at least the loads are improving. Okay, there is no doubt about that. Many of our customers are guys who are getting the contracts from some bigger guys, because our portfolio is of small transporters, like maybe 3, 4, 5 kind of trucks. So what we have seen even in the past is the big guys don't easily increase the rate. In fact, they try to squeeze some of these small guys. Having said that, whatever cash flows that we are seeing and whatever recoveries and collection efficiency are showing clearly shows that there is some pickup in demand as well as in terms of pricing. And that is the reason we are able to kind of recover these dues from the customers.
Got it, sir. And sir, the next question is on the realization value of the mortgages. Of course, so last 1.5 years, we have not been able to sell those properties. But whenever we are approaching the courts or maybe whenever we are approaching the agency, what sort of market value we are getting as of now versus, let's say, pre-COVID levels?
So what is that 1.5 year point you made, because I'm not clear about that.
So let's say during this COVID time, since courts and everything was not working, we might not be able to sell those properties.
Hmm.
And we might have not approached valuer as well to get the value of the property.
No. That is not what I meant. So let me clarify. Courts were not giving repossession order.
Hmm.
Okay. But where we are approaching the customer directly and see, customer doesn't necessarily, some of the customers wait for repossession order before they actually react. But most customers, as soon as they get legal notice, surface and all, they start to react because they don't want to lose that self-occupied property. Okay? So, wherever we have seen, we encourage the customer to sell themselves. We have not seen any loss given default problem. What we lose in those cases is some accumulated interest, some part has to be given up, or some delinquency charges that we have charged them have to be given up, or some legal charges that we have charged them has to be partly given up or given up completely. Those kind of compromise we have to make on this. In smaller properties, unless we have made a mess of the valuation at the time of originating the loan, we have not seen any decline in value. Where we have seen, and our portfolio in this category is very limited, is where if the property price is 1.5-2 crore, the demand also has been less, also the realization is not that great. Like you probably lose about 20-25% of the value. All in all, experience tells us that our loss given default is in the range of 23-27% in mortgages.
Got it, sir. And just a last question, if I can just squeeze in. On the restructured book, let's say of this entire 1,800 crore book, what percentage of book is up for billing? I mean, is out of moratorium?
No, there are different categories in that. Some people we have given zero moratorium, some we have given 3, some we have given 6. Some of the home loans, which is as per the RBI existing guideline, may have been given 2 years also. Right? So it's all in various categories. What we are seeing is as a strategy, we have decided irrespective of whether the customer has asked for moratorium or not, keep talking to the customer, calling the customer. We are encouraging a lot of moratorium customers also to say, look, why don't you start making some payments if your business has come back. So I don't have that separate figure here. Because let's say last month some people have come out of the moratorium, they would have already been part of this billing.
Got it, sir.
However, in collection efficiency, the amount billed is there in the denominator and amount recovered against that is...
Yeah, except for those who are in
moratorium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every month somebody is coming out of the moratorium, they come into the billing cycle.
Billing side. Okay. Got it, sir. Yeah, that is from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bunty Chawla from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. It seems to be our collection and recovery efforts are doing very well, which is reflecting in the upgrades and the recovery. So from that point of view, if you can share some data points. First is how much of the total employee count or headcount will be the collection team? And similarly, what proportion of the employee cost is related to our collection efforts? And what we this quarter there has been a slight increase in the total operating cost. So what, how much increase is due to this higher collection efforts we have put on?
Yeah, so we don't, first of all I want to say we don't use any collection agency at all. Everything that we do in our bank is in-house, including some junior lawyers who are in our payroll to do all the work, that legal work that needs to be done. Okay, so we have a collection agency only for repossession of truck, because we can't do that. Other than that, everything is done by us in-house. When we repossess a property and we have to put a security guard outside that property, there we use agency, because we don't have that kind of manpower or skill set. So everything we do is in-house. So since last year, I believe we would have added at least 150 people into collections. That has been a conscious decision to do that for two reasons. One is the intensity required to talk to customers has definitely gone up for obvious reasons. And secondly, if you have to make sure that you have to really step up on the collections, then you need to have a lot more headcount and coverage. So therefore, we have increased our headcount. We don't disclose the number of headcount that we have on collection, but I think almost about 11 to 12% of our staff would be in collection. And this collection means telecalling collection, field collection, mid-bucket collection, you know, all types of collections, including supervisory staff.
So, sir, total headcount you are saying out of the 11 to 12% will be into this collection. So similarly, I can take the cost also.
10 to 12%.
So similarly, in the cost
person, not necessarily, because collection staff, the telecalling staff, and field staff and all are usually junior staff. So if you go by some average cost, you may not get the right number there.
Okay. And sir, secondly, as you have rightly said, the moratorium number for the restructured would be some 3, some 6 months, some 2 years. So roughly an average number, if you can share, is if it is possible.
We are not disclosing that number. We are disclosing the restructured number to you and also the collection efficiency.
Oh, okay, sir. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And best of luck for you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So first question, like, you know, we have seen in case of some other bank also, like, what is the reason that there is some volatility that in the NRI deposit we are witnessing? Like, is it a industry-wide phenomenon or is it happening only to us?
Aise kuch nahi hai, boss. You know, there is one of the things that we have seen, some banks have reported very high numbers on NRI deposit growth. Our NRI deposit growth was predominantly dependent on NRIs visiting India during holidays. Our best months usually on NRI deposit used to be from September to January or February. As you know that because of fear of travel and restrictions and all, the inflows of such customers have been very limited. Okay. And secondly, in our customer segment, we found that a lot of the customers have their own, compulsions of, supposing they are living in different countries and they have their own compulsions of cash flows. They have not added too much to our deposit. So we have done an analysis, you don't find any one particular reason or anything like that. And given that we are, pretty strong on this NR deposit, we believe that over a period of time, this should start to build back again.
Got it. And so secondly, could you please explain, like, what is the characteristics of our CV loan in terms of customer segmentation, the ticket size, geography-wide, you know, breakup? If you can give some flavor around these three things, that would be very helpful, actually.
I mean, we have a pretty small portfolio in comparison to the industry in commercial vehicle, right? And as I mentioned in the past also, we don't do any strategic, you know, big ticket and all, we don't do. Our ticket sizes are usually in 30 lakhs, 50 lakhs. So between the used and the new, the breakup would be probably used is about 40% and used new will be about 60%. And this is all first-time buyer, first-time user kind of portfolio. That is what we have. And we always find that the delinquency may be higher, but over time, as the truck starts to operate, our recoveries and collections starts to pick up, and we are seeing improvement in CV collection efficiency as well.
And sir, with the margin that we have for the first half or for the quarter and the kind of credit costs that we incur, on a sustainable basis, you know, what kind of ROA that you internally would have, you know, discussed that, or what is the sustainable number that we can, you know, report on the ROA, ROE basis?
We are confident of crossing 100 basis points of ROA and 14% ROE in due course. I think the big needle mover on that will be as we start to improve our collection recoveries and start to reduce our NPA, fresh slippages and all, we believe our credit cost would start to become more normal, which is what we had pre-COVID, which is more like a 50 basis points level. As we reduce our excess liquidity, as the slippages starts to come down, and as we keep repo profiling our deposit base, we believe that that should also help us to get some better NIM. And we are also planning to, as you would have seen in our stock exchange disclosure, we are also planning to repay some of our sub-debt. That also should help us to improve our cost of fund. Of course, some of the cost of fund will get passed on to customers. Our product mix is actually helping us to make sure that we have a sustainable proposition on our yield. If I was to divide the whole business into very low risk, medium risk and high risk, I would say that we are probably operating somewhere between medium risk to medium low risk, and therefore our yields reflect that. We could very well go into some of the SME businesses where you could get 17-18% and all. We don't believe that that is a sustainable proposition. So NIM will start to improve for the reasons I said, and credit losses will start to come off. And you can see that we are already performing quite well on our fee income, and we hope that it will improve further. As far as cost is concerned, in near term, costs will go up, and it's a very conscious decision for us to keep building frontline so that we can build on our balance sheet, because we've had about almost, you know, 1.5 years of very, you know, kind of flattish kind of a situation, and we want to, like, you know, start building on that. When and so the due course means we are looking at least 3 to 4 quarters down the line, numbers starting to really improve from here on. That's the way we are looking at it.
Great, great, sir. So around 100 basis points of ROA and around 20-25% balance sheet growth.
I didn't say 20-25%. I said that we are looking to double the balance sheet between 3 to 4 years, and whatever that translates to is what. And that doesn't mean maybe 1 year we might do 18, another year we maybe do 21. It all depends on how the circumstances, but that is our ambition at the moment.
Great, sir. Great. Very nice to hear. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Centrum Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Congrats on a good quarter.
Yeah.
So firstly, just want to understand on the restructured portfolio. So, you know, how should we look at what proportion of the portfolio would sort of slip, right? Because, I mean, most of it will be longer term. And obviously, it will be a bit sticky.
I'm really sorry. I'm not able to hear you well. If you can, I don't know, maybe are you on speakerphone or something? I want to answer your question, but I'm not able to hear you well.
Is it better now?
Yeah, far better. Yeah. Now tell me what you want. On restructured portfolio, what do you say?
Yeah. I was asking on the restructured portfolio, you know, how should we look at the slippages from the restructured portfolio to the stress pool? Because a lot of it would be longer term, right? So it would be sticky because 60-65% is housing or LAP for that matter. So, you know, how should we look at it?
What does sticky mean?
No, I mean, the you know, since the tenure of the loan would be longer, so repayments would also be that one. Hence, we have probably given a longer moratorium on the restructure.
No, we are consciously in the mortgage business, and 47% of our business is in mortgage business, which by nature, the ticket size that we do 30-40 lakh, by nature is a long term term loans that we are giving, and we are that's the way we see risk and build that into the pricing, cost of collections, and so on. So that's the model that we have. So we don't have any short-term loans. We don't have those PLs except for MFI loans, which is unsecured. We have very limited unsecured, you know, exposure. So that's by design we are in this business. Now comes to restructure. The collection efficiency that we are reporting includes the restructured portfolio that is built in the denominator. Okay, so if NPA flows are happening, if customers are slipping either in restructure or in the normal portfolio, all are coming and reported as NPA. And that was about 500 crores and became 400 odd crores. Hopefully we keep reducing this slippages as we go along. And you know, hopefully there is no interruption or issues that come up in the country. Right? So that is the way we see it. Now, there is a collection team which is constantly in touch. And I kind of indicated to you that we are trying to step up on collections and recoveries. The same pool is what has given you this collections and recovery, right? There are customers who are coming out of restructure. There are customers who are coming out of moratorium, saying that I don't need the moratorium anymore. There are customers who are able to upgrade from, you know, delinquent situation to higher situation. So all kind of mix is happening at the moment. So plus ours is a secured portfolio. Even if it is a long-term portfolio, it's a secured portfolio. It's a mostly self-occupied portfolio. And that is what we have been saying in the call repeatedly. So that is the way I see our portfolio. I don't know what you are saying, but that's the way I see it.
No, sir. So thanks for the reply, but I just was looking at, I mean, you know, trying to get at that how soon could we sort of reduce our restructured portfolio. That is what I was sort of looking at. That's why I asked.
I mean, I am not too worried about our restructured portfolio. If it was an unsecured restructured portfolio, I'll be very worried. Even like I mentioned, guys who are in moratorium, I think about 70-80% of them have already been touched base by our bank. Because see, if you give a moratorium, let's say in June, I'm just saying April or June. Now, June situation is different, October situation is different. We are saying, look, if businesses have come back, why do you need to be in moratorium? Many of the customers are agreeing and saying, okay, give us time, we'll tell you what to do, etc. So, I think if you are given an unsecured loan, which I've already told you, less than 2% of our restructure is an unsecured loan, it's a different, so therefore I have a lot more confidence in our restructured portfolio. And we have also provided, by the way, I've told you 265 crore of provision has already been made on this restructured portfolio.
Sure. Got that, sir. Thanks. So lastly, on the slippages to the, you know, recoveries upgrade, so this quarter I think has been fantastic. We've almost recovered all of our slippages. So at least in the next 3-4 quarters, would this ratio hold or, you know, would this taper off a bit?
See, the collection team doesn't feel like that, okay? However, I want to see month-on-month performance despite Diwali holidays, despite festival, despite Christmas, whatever be the thing. I want to see the performance before telling you whether, but at the moment, the momentum looks encouraging. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. Thanks, fantastic. All the best. Season's greetings.
Yeah, same to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh MB from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just an extension to the previous question. If I heard it correctly from Bharat, Bharat said that the provisions for restructured loans was 70 crores for this quarter, right?
Yes.
Okay. So essentially, would you say that this quarter the provisions for bad loans was, let's say the provisions for NPLs was close to negligible?
Because we would have had some reversals on 400 crores and we would have made some provision on the slippages.
Correct.
The aging provision will continue to happen, no? So let us say we have an NPA already of stock of say 1000 odd crores. As they age, that aging provision keeps coming up.
Perfect. So just trying to understand, if next quarter you do not have restructured loan provisions of the same level as what you are seeing today, that means the second half credit cost should be meaningfully lower, no?
We are keeping our fingers crossed and we are hoping that we do a far better job on the credit cost in the second quarter than first quarter.
Perfect. And also this ECL, yes, while the sanctions have come through, disbursements have not moved much QOQ.
We are very stingy on this. And frankly, I mean, I've been telling you this many, many times also. Customers who have taken a 12-year lap, if you go and give him a 4-year, ECLGS, he's saying that, why don't you give me a 12-year? Why don't you just give me a top-up? Because I'm not a delinquent customer. Why don't you give me a top-up on this? And top-up is allowed. I mean, not that we have done it because he has to show business performance for top-up. So second thing is that I don't want to give ECLGS to fix our NPA issues and all. I mean, that's not the way we want to operate, right?
Perfect.
So therefore, it is where they are. I mean, and when you look at a RM, you tell the RM that why don't you disburse ECLGS? And the guy is thinking that, I would rather find a new customer and make my business volume than go after ECLGS. You see, to administer it, you need people not to do the documentation and so on. And the frontline is thinking that why don't I just do a new loan of mortgage or home loan or something rather than do ECLGS. So all these are a mix of things that is happening in this. So I'm not very worried about it. I think we are okay on that.
So now, in the sense, the customer has been sanctioned, but he's still not utilizing it.
He's been sanctioned.
Why does that?
The department itself has sent him an SMS saying that your loan has been sanctioned. We have followed up with him. He is not interested anymore.
Okay. Perfect. So overall, you say that, look, if you look at this quarter's performance, it's been good on growth. Margins have held up. Asset quality seems to be showing improvement. There are no major, headwinds that is sitting in front of you except for any unexpected event hitting us as a sector as well. Is that a fair way to look at this?
I think it's a fair way to look at it. I think it's also fair to say that how difficult the first quarter looked. Whatever has come out on second quarter, I'll take it.
Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Most of the questions have been answered. Just wanted to get your comment on growth again. So I heard, and we have always been maintaining that, the intention is to double the balance sheet over every 3-3.5 years. But if I look at the last 6-7 quarters, the growth has been a single digit, and for obvious reasons. But in this quarter, the growth, of course, in the disbursement, it looks like all-time high. And that also flows through the loan book uptake QOQ. At the same time, the collection efficiency, the table that you have shown, the second table including NPA and restructuring, is showing one way uptake trajectory. So in the light of this thing, and I think you also answered to Mahesh's question that this quarter is sort of a turnaround quarter, if one were to say that. So maybe we did not give guidance in the earlier quarters because the visibility may not be there. But can you help us over the next 12 months? Could we reach the previous run rate in terms of growth, or there is still some time before you will make that comment? So just wanted to check, when do we get back to that doubling of balance sheet phase? When do we reach there?
We have, based on whatever efforts are going on, including headcount increase that we have done in frontline, including our branch expansion plans that we have set 2030 within 12-15 months, including the additional headcount that we are giving to branches which are having potential and performance, we have every intention to double the balance sheet between 3 to 4 years. Now, as you know, in a retail, and it will not be in corporate loans. Okay, our corporate loans will continue to be 10 to 11% of our total book. It will not be in some fantastic MFI loans, because we believe that has a lot of risks which are unpredictable and can derail you from time to time. It will be mostly in mortgages, gold loans, SME, MSME, AIB. That is where we are planning to grow. And we believe those loss rates are very predictable. And the portfolio, I mean, we were doing quite well on the portfolio till whatever COVID hit us. And even there, my guidance has always been, we are having self-occupied property, mortgages, and we should be fine. That's what I've always maintained, and I continue to maintain that. Okay. Yes, we have to deal with our NPA portfolio, which is about 4.5%, plus we have to deal with our restructured portfolio. But again, they're all secured portfolio. So I think the efforts that are going on both on the deposit side and loan side, barring any major disruption that completely throws us off rail, we are, I think, on track to deliver double the balance sheet in between 3 to 4 years. That's how I see that.
Right. Okay. So, and second, sir, just a small two clarification. One is the restructured loan that we have given. If I were to calculate the gross restructuring book, then I should be adding back the provision, 265 crores provision that the bank has done.
Yes.
And second is the co-lending figure that you have given separately in disbursement. Is this given because this is a separate channel, or this would also include these products, but the only difference is the channel. I mean, the co-lending disbursement of 885.
Co-lending is purely gold loans.
Okay.
And co-lending is a separate business vertical which we created about 6-7 months ago. And we intend to build on that vertical. It is, we are not interested in doing co-lending on mortgage loans or LAP. We are good at that. So we don't need any co-lending assistance on that. Even in gold loans, the co-lending is being done to a segment that we are not focused on. So again, we are very careful what we want to do. The segment that they are focused on, that the NBFC is focused on, is not the segment that we are focused on. That's the reason our pricing is acceptable to us. And you know that gold loan does not attract capital. That's the other advantage of that, right? We have also done TRED. In order to drain our excess liquidity, we are actively participating in TRED. Which is also PSL, and which is a short-term 3 months, 120 days kind of lending. So these are all the new things that we are doing and seeing how we can support our basic growth in mortgages and AIB.
Thank you. The current participant has left the question queue. We'll take the next question from the line of Darshan Deora from Invest Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's great to see the uptick in the CASA numbers. Just wanted to get some thoughts on where you see the CASA going over the next 12 to 15 months.
See, we've done a pretty decent job in the last 3 years, starting from 2018, on retail term deposits. The reason we did that was, I didn't know that PMC is going to happen. We didn't know that Yes Bank kind of problem could happen. We didn't know that COVID could happen. But we didn't want to continue where our dependence on interbank and bulk deposit is at a level which is like 17-18%. So we changed the entire scorecard and focused on retail term deposits. I thought we did a pretty good job. Now our top 20 deposit is below 7%. and we hope to bring it down to industry best like Federal Bank or ICICI, which is more like a 5% kind of thing, you know, over a period of next 1.5-2 years. That's our intention. Now that we have done that, we have recently restacked our scorecard of the frontline, which is the branches, to focus on pure retail CASA, which means not institution CASA, only retail CASA, which means natural person CASA. That is what we want to focus on. We have tweaked our pricing and all here and there to help that. So we see that as fungible between the pricing between term deposit and CASA as fungible. So we've done some tweaking on that. That is because we are in the market fighting IDFC, AU, Equitas, these kind of banks which are probably offering far better rates in CASA. But having said that, we hope to continue to maintain a pretty decent growth in CASA. I think our year-on-year growth has been about 20-odd%, 25%. And that's the kind of growth we are aiming for. We have started this journey recently, or rather restarted this journey recently. Let me see one or two quarters and then I can give you guidance on where we are going to end up on that.
So that's quite helpful and good luck. The results were great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Chheda from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good evening, sir. Sir, I would like to ask that there is a common perception among investor community that is banking that banking is a scale game and larger banks will keep getting larger and smaller private banks will be small. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we have to discuss it outside this forum because this will take a lot of time of everyone. I have my views which others may not. The bigger banks may think that we don't have a chance and we may think that we have a chance. So I don't know where the answer is. As far as I know, the kind of work that we are doing, we will continue to build our balance sheet and growth is what I know. Separately, when I meet you personally, we can exchange views on you.
Yes, sir. Sir, and another question would be, sir, can you throw some light on the threats from technologically advanced banks like, you know, Paytm versus the traditional banks?
I think technology is pretty common to everyone. Of course, Paytm has established a completely huge market for itself. There is no, I mean, we have to give it full credit for what they have done in the last 5-7 years, right? But having said that, I don't see any bank technologically backward. And as you can see, we also have put together almost 500 projects which you are working on, which we believe will be very, very beneficial to the frontline and customers. And of course, we have to continue to work on it. It's not something that we can do and then forget about it. We have to continue to be focused on this aspect.
Okay. That was helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Rohan.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the opportunity again. Just one thing on co-lending. If you could just share what is the arrangement on that front and what kind of an ROA differential we may see vis-a-vis the normal business in that co-lending?
We are very clear that we want to be in co-lending in a business or product that we are not ourselves doing or we will have a lot of cost in building that particular capability. Okay? The model that we have chosen for co-lending is gold loans. Gold loan is very short term, anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And the pricing depends on what kind of ticket size they are giving. At the moment, they are giving us ticket size that we are not focused on. Our average ticket size is somewhere like 1.5-2 lakh rupees. Their ticket size is more like 50,000 kind of ticket size. Gold loan does not have any capital charge. So therefore, and there is no cost. In co-lending, we don't have any cost except some few people in head office who have to take care of reconciliation, who have to take care of technology, who have to take care of the payments that are coming in, make sure that they're all accounted well, and the relationship management. Costs are negligible on the entire initiative. So the margins, even if it is limited and capital is not there, you can always calculate. I think it's a pretty decent ROI business.
Thank you. Mr. Mandora, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Roshan Chutke from ICICI Prudential Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Actually, I joined this call a little late. If you can just talk a little bit about the CEB growth, where is the growth coming from?
Core fee income is coming from various categories. Cross-sell of insurance, trade, ATM, processing fee, all these are contributing. Everything is contributing to the growth, and we hope to continue to build on it. There is no one, any, we don't have any one sixer in this. Everything is contributing to it.
Okay, thanks. And if I look at your press release, for the home loan segment particularly, right, there's a statement which says that the percentage of portfolio who have paid 3 EMIs or more from April 2020 till date is about less than 90%.
Yeah.
How does this reconcile with the fact that the collection efficiency, if you look at the entire year, this calendar year particularly?
Salaried home loan would be more in moratorium. So the 3-4% could be explained by the moratorium. I think home loan customers were more demanding of moratorium than LAP customers in some ways.
And the moratorium periods have been fairly long.
Sorry?
The moratorium periods have been fairly long here.
They will always say give me 2 years and all. It depends. Like, we make it, I won't say difficult, we make it more... systemic with the customer, because if you ask for details of the customer saying give me your bank statement, give me your income statement and all, he himself realizes that he doesn't require a 2 year kind of moratorium, right? So right. Not in every, see, if you say okay 2 year automatically you give, then it's a, that's not how we have done it. We have a collection team has worked with each and every customer to figure out what is their cash flow. Some people may sound very desperate saying, no matter what, my friend has got 2 years, you have to give me 2 years, you know, then probably we can't do much because by law they can demand that.
Then they also understand that, we also make them understand that 2 year upfront doesn't mean 2 year at the end.
Minimum 2 year at the end, yeah, minimum, 4 year at the end.
It can be 4 year at the end. Sometimes a person who's not aware may just think that I get 2 years relief now and I have to pay 2 years in the end more.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that, no, as you know.
Interest accumulates.
Correct.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
So, operator, I think I'll take the last two questions now.
Sure. The next question is from the line of Sohail Halai from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first, just on the entire macro thing, in terms of we look at it, the system is at excess liquidity. The entire lending pie is not growing much. So, perhaps the yields would be under pressure. When do you think that the situation would reverse and we will move back to our normal range of margins?
What is normal range of margin?
Sir, probably you operate in a bandwidth of 3.5 to 3.75 and for most of the time you have in fact surprised us by being closer to 4. So do you think that once the recovery starts improving, we could move to closer to those range in FY23?
I think instead of looking externally, the pressure on yield is always been there. I mean, in 6 months I'll finish 13 years. Pressure on yield has always been there on this thing. So instead of looking at the external environment, I would say that where we are seeing possible improvement in NIMS is as the NPA starts to come down, slippages and all starts to come down. That is one that will help. As we start to not do any more restructure, that will start definitely help. Third is, I think we are steadily improving our deposit profile, and if we improve our CASA ratio, that also should help the thing. And fourth is, like I mentioned to you, that we are going to take the call option on the tier 2 bonds, which is about 230 odd crores. Next point is that I told you that we are maintaining excess liquidity, and as a bank we have decided that we will start to reduce that. All that should start to steadily help So we are confident on a steady state basis we should go above 360 basis point, but I think it might require about 2-3 quarters, maybe 2 quarters, I don't know. That's how it looks right now.
Sure, sir. And sir, in terms of asset quality, just one thing. In terms of, we saw an upgrade of 300 crores this quarter. And perhaps in your commentary, you also did mention that in terms of some of these court-related cases or the DRT, it's taking time. So is it fair to assume that if the current environment continues, probably you will be in net negative slippages in FY23? How do you read into basically in terms of the trend going forward?
So listen, I am confident of our collections effort and the momentum that we are seeing. I don't want to make any prediction whether we are going to be net negative and all. Our intention is to steadily reduce the NPA ratios as we move forward. If you had asked me whether I would be whether we would be in this kind of situation at the end of June, I may not have thought that this was possible, but as we started working on, as the environment started improving and as we intensified our work, we got some better results than we planned for. So we hope to sustain this. Let's see one or two more quarters before we decide how it looks. So at the moment, the momentum is quite all right.
And sir, any color on the current quarter of upgrades, like how granular it was and what led to these upgrades?
Everything in our bank is granular. We don't have any, like we don't have any corporate 100 crores upgrade, and we don't have those kind of things. Okay.
Yes.
Even if a corporate upgrade will be like 5-6 crores. So, I mean, it's very granular. So, everything is granular. This quarter also it looks granular only.
But anything due to restructuring that got upgraded during the quarter?
Means what?
That you would have implemented the restructuring and it got upgraded during the quarter, or it is entirely outside the restructuring?
It is minimal. See, we don't encourage that. It is minimal. See, we encourage the customer to pay us something for us to do something, right? Unless the customer like really becomes very stubborn and not want to cooperate, that's a different matter. Okay, so that is minimal. Most of the upgrades and recoveries that have happened is cash upgrades.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir, and best of luck.
Thanks. So last question, operator.
Sure, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit Premchandani from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just had a question on the slippage number. Although the overall trends of asset quality have improved significantly, but if you look at the gross slippage trend, it is still at significantly elevated levels. So when do you think that will correct to more normalized 2-3% slippage number, and is this 6.5 kind of number likely to be significantly lower in the second half?
I think if the situation continues to improve in the environment and we continue to do the work that we are doing on collection recoveries, quarter on quarter I expect some improvement in the slippages. Because you can see from 500 is 400, and we are looking at the slippages. I think even our MFI book is starting to show some improvement and lower slippages. So, barring any unforeseen situation, quarter on quarter, I think we should see improvement. If I was to take a guess, maybe give it another 2-3 quarters before it comes to some normal kind of levels. Assuming there is something called normal,
Sure. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thanks, everyone, for your. I know that we always do this call on Saturday evening, and probably messing with your, evening on Saturday. My team certainly thinks that I am messing with their Saturday. To compensate for that, I am taking them out for a drink today. Unfortunately, I can't invite some of you because of COVID protocol. Please enjoy your evening. Thank you very much for participating in this call. Look forward to talking to you again. Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DCB Bank Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.